from Santa Barbara, California. The Timeless Voyager with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Talk radio for the new age. Interviews with well-established professionals in the fields of New Age philosophy, holistic health care, energy healing, psychic phenomena, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager Radio. With me today, extraordinary guest, Uta Soltner. She is a Capricorn. She is an astrologer. She was born in India, raised in West Germany and New York. She came to California in 1972, where she completed her Bachelor of Arts degree in clinical psychology. And she actually feels that this was a good beginning background for her astrological counseling practice. She says that astrology treats the whole person from the spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional perspectives. And she stresses that this is so important as we are making our transition into the Aquarian age. She says that the complexity and attendant stress of living in our current society seems to require many of us to work on healing these four bodies of man, and of course the four bodies being the spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional. And that these four bodies will help us remain in a state of balance and harmony if we know what to do. Welcome to the show, Uta.
Hi, thank you.
All right, did you enjoy that beginning? Was that a good beginning?
That was lovely.
All right. So now the question that comes up is, right away in the beginning, people start out by wanting to know. They always want to know everything. They want to know, why astrology? What is it that astrology brings us that other disciplines don't?
That's a tough question to start early in the morning.
Well, we're moving
excellent.
In. We're moving into Virgo in about one minute, right?
We have 1 minute for me to get serious here. I guess I wanted to play a little bit longer, as long as the moon was in Leo. But it's a very valid question, and I'm not saying astrology is the only way to go. Of course, I'm prejudiced because I think astrology is a wonderful tool. It does, however, require so much time and patience, so I'm aware of the fact that not every person out there will want to take that much time.
Now, you don't use a computer, do you?
I use a computer service because I got very spoiled by having someone else named Neil Mickelson in San Diego invent a computer program that is so phenomenal that I couldn't possibly begin to even build it, invent it, duplicate it, or whatever.
But what I mean is you do all the forecasting from the
computer
printout.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So people should understand that there are two different ways that computers can be used. Mm-hmm. The first way is the way you utilize it, namely it does all of the computations. Right.
Thank God.
Right, and people don't realize, I mean, all these little books on longitude and latitude.
I brought some of my toys, and one of them is a book called The Ephemeris. So naturally, you know, we have all of the tools available at home. And right now, if there was a person out there who was willing, and I'm sure there are people, to invent, you know, programs especially for astrologers, and there are some people who do that, but who can create exactly the kind of program you need, you know, and tailor make it, you know, that would be ideal. And so until that happens, or until they're available in the market, I'm using this particular computer service for 20 years already.
All right, now the important aspect here is that you don't rely on the computer for pre-printed interpretations. You do those yourself.
God, no. Yes. Not to be derogatory in that sense. I'm sure that people are doing good work. But the fun of astrology is to rewrite the chart, you know, check it, double check it. And it's in the writing process that you get a feeling, let's say, for what this person might be about. And then I do a lot of things with that chart. I do transit charts. I do, you know, all kinds of things.
Now, you refer to yourself. I'm sorry.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah. You refer to yourself as a cosmic weather forecaster.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you a little bit more of a picture. Astrologers, like everything else, probably a dime a dozen, but what they really are is a person who is tuned in, let's say, and not constantly out there in the middle of the night looking at the heavens, but tuned into what's going on with the planet, therefore with the people, therefore with the consciousness, therefore with the day-to-day events even. And as a cosmic weather forecaster, we try to prepare people for what the weather is about, how to perhaps make the most out of a cycle. And cycle is a word I'm going to be using a lot in this hour. And rhythm is another word I'll use a lot. And so we can help people weather the storm, make the most out of a rainy day, also perhaps avoid, you know, a major storm or weather pattern coming their way. So it's kind of a good language to use.
Okay, so now this is a very nice analogy. You mm-hmm. say a cosmic weather forecaster. Mm-hmm. So things are being thrown at us. There's constantly. Turbulence. There are storms. There's snow coming.
Yeah.
This is all coming our way. Now, just like we prepare when we turn on the television in the evening mm-hmm. and somebody says it's going to rain. Now, mm-hmm. maybe it doesn't rain. Mm-hmm. But we're prepared, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you try to show us not only what the trends are, mm-hmm. but perhaps how we can either avoid or cover ourselves or protect ourselves during those trends.
Yeah. I like the phrase appropriate action or right action. And it is very much like listening to the weather forecast. And I also want to mention that when you work psychically, which is one thing that's enhanced by doing anything, you know, for hours, you know, at a pace, like astrology, you can certainly be off with timing, which you may have noticed, you know, that if some psychic, no matter how wonderful they might be, says, oh, by June, you will meet this wonderful, tall, dark, and handsome man, and he doesn't show up until November, you know, and hopefully you didn't hold your breath this whole time, but...
Or didn't go out with the blonde.
Yeah, right, right, you know, this is not so easy, but using astrology as a backup or as a grounding, you do get phenomenal timing accuracy. So I will often be able to say to a client, if we have your right birth time, on which everything is dependent, we should be able to see this theme coming up in your life. Now, what do you want to do about it? Okay? I'm not saying you can avoid this, you know. I'm saying this theme will come towards you, and you have several ways to go with that. You can react in a lot of different ways. And now, that's where your free will comes in.
Now, you refer to astrology as a sacred science.
Absolutely. Even though a person could come to you and say, give me $5 worth of astrology, just something to get me through the week, it can be done, of course.
Is there such a thing, $5?
People do it all the time, and it drives me crazy, and yet I fall for it all the time because I love astrology and I do want to give them something. And yet
I wouldn't tell the people that are listening to the show that you fall for it.
I just don't tell them how to call me.
Get a lot of calls for $5 worth of astrology.
You know, when I go and get gas, I might just get $5 worth. But what I'm trying to teach people is, it is a sacred science, and you should take a little bit more time, and you should have a little bit more respect, and you shouldn't do this to your, you know, local friendly astrologer. You should say, I know there is so much more to it, and perhaps, you know, there is one clue right this minute that could help me, but, you know, I would like to get away from this dime store, you know, perspective.
No, you wouldn't go to a dentist and say, I want $5 worth of tooth checkup.
No, probably not.
All right. Now, so the point here is that you feel that it's a real strong guidance towards self-awareness mm-hmm. and that we learn how to act according to the cycles that we're living with.
Yeah, and I think that astrologers are not people now who are so weird from the mainstream that they somehow relate to cycles. I think all of us inhabiting the planet at one time, we're very much aware of natural cycles, and we were in tune with natural rhythms, and we honored them, we respected them, we lived our life with them, we integrated them into our life, and we were helped and guided by them. And this goes back to being a weather forecaster, you know. And we have gotten so away from that, so there are few disciplines that still remind us of this, and astrology is one. It's so old, it's so ancient. You know, I love to blow people away with the fact that we've had this longer than, you know, anything you can go in the store and buy. It's longer, it's been around longer than many of the books. It's been around longer than almost anything, actually.
Now, your interest, of course, is the destiny potential.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about this? And you link this to the evolution of the soul, mm-hmm. which is your... So this is your mm-hmm. area of focus, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. If anyone said, well, what specialty do you have? I would say my whole purpose for teaching astrology, lecturing about it, explaining it, doing workshops is to remind people that we are a soul, that we are a spiritual being, and that I will want to look into the chart to see where are they at with their evolution. In other words, I'm going to assume that you will know how to figure out what to have for dinner tonight, and that we won't have to discuss that, but that we will perhaps be able to help you by saying, gee, by the way, your north node is in Gemini. Can I use your chart? I won't get real personal.
You describe yourself as a Capricorn, which I guess means that we're really getting down to business now.
We're now getting to business, yes.
So you're going to use my chart, and now be kind, okay?
I will be very kind. Moon is in Virgo. I will be very sweet and gentle and compassionate and considerate.
Now, you're going to talk about three aspects mm-hmm. then, what? The ascendant, the mm-hmm. Pluto link, and the mm-hmm. lunar node. Is that correct?
Yeah. As a solar-oriented astrologer, soul-centered astrologer, I look at your north node, which gives me a real clue to what activities, lifestyle, and even destiny you came into fulfill.
Now, everybody has this in
their natal chart. Yes, we're talking about the natal chart.
So you have to have a natal chart done first. And mm-hmm. that, incidentally, let's just back up for one mm-hmm. second. Just explain to people what the natal mm-hmm. chart is.
It's a graph. It's a big circle with a bunch of things in it, and it tells us everything you could possibly want to know about yourself.
So you, in a sense, freeze the planetary aspects with the Earth as the center of this particular chart,
mm-hmm.
and then how everything looked mm-hmm. at the exact moment you mm-hmm. were born.
And it would be symbolic, because astrology is a symbolic science of what you brought in with you. What your potentials are, what your weaknesses are, what your real path is. And the whole point is, will you ever be aware of having a path A and being on your path or being off the path and trying to get back on it? You know, and that's what you will spend all your life doing.
So this is like everybody's personal little map.
Yeah, absolutely. I use that analogy a lot. Maps, blueprints, roadmaps, signs on the roadmap saying, watch out, detour, you know, whatever.
All right, so we're at the North Node, mm-hmm. huh?
And for instance, the North Node in Gemini means you must communicate. So if I said to you, do you communicate with all of your life's activities somehow? And do you do it ongoingly, regularly? And if you said, yes, I happen to do this Timeless Voyager radio, I'd say, oh, great, check mark. He's doing it, okay? But of course, then there are deeper layers. And in the fifth house, it means, yes, you're allowed to have wonderful fun and expressiveness with this radio program, but there are other layers, and one of them would be, are you putting energy into discovering your own unique essence? Okay. Is there another activity that helps you to define that and to discover that? And if you said, well, I'm so busy with everything else, I don't have time for myself, I'd say, well, that's too bad. You know, let's try to get you involved in something. But if you said, oh, well, I also play music, and I don't play other people's music, I play my own, I'd say, oh, great, another check mark. You're doing another deeper layer of this, another level. And then we could keep going further. Shall I keep going or shall we stop now?
I don't know. Well, I guess I'll have to edit it out if it gets too deep.
You could always do that. You know, and then the real point would be, because we're talking about the soul and what it has already mastered in other lifetimes, past lives, and what it is here to do now, okay? And then it would mean you must learn in this lifetime to connect one-on-one and to express yourself and communicate and to lose a sense of separation from that other being and to really connect in such a way that you feel all boundaries are gone, and that one-on-one person is like a long-lost soulmate. And if you can find that person and find that level of communication and really stay on that level and relate on that quite frequently, so again, it becomes integrated into your life, we give you a big check mark, because that's the hard part.
So you say I should be relating to everyone that way?
Yes, but specifically a one-on-one significant other, because your past life indication means you value your friends.
I love that significant other.
Lots of friends. It's a great phrase.
I love
probably
it.
A Californian made
right.
it up. You
definitely,
know?
Definitely California.
Probably.
Right? We wouldn't want to say, you know, your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend mm-hmm. or your husband. It becomes mm-hmm. your significant other. Which
it's
is
all allowed.
That's like the height of separation.
Okay. It's all allowed. We are talking about a two-legged human.
But this
human.
Is very interesting, though. So the point being mm-hmm. that while we're being specific about my chart, mm-hmm. the most important point here is that everyone has just this one little aspect, which mm-hmm. you're going into such mm-hmm. detail. And most people, when they read the newspaper, they're mm-hmm. reading what? The sun sign
only.
Or
they'll miss out on all of this.
So this is very specific to each individual.
And my God, you know, if I only had $5 worth, you know, and 5 minutes worth of time, I would say, do your node, do your node, do your node. This will turn out to be the greatest area of happiness for you. And isn't that something you want? I'm assuming that, okay, allowing for all kinds of kinkiness, but still I'm assuming that this is what you want. And we also will say that because of a past life orientation to be with lots of friends, this is not that easy. Okay, and to spend time with friends is allowed. And so I've come up with this analogy of if you do your North Node Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're going to be pretty much okay karmically. And then you can have Tuesday and Thursday to retreat into your past life activity and, you know, hang out there and have fun, you know.
But, right, now I want to move this along because I know that, I mean, we're going to get really...
Oh, I know.
You have the ascendant. You feel the ascendant's very important, too. Now, the ascendant, for people that are listening again, is the first house.
The first house, it is the sign that is on the first house cusp.
If you were to imagine, just for people who may not have ever seen a natal chart, imagine a clock, but instead of at 9 p.m., you would have a 1 there, and that would be the first house.
Would be wonderful. Gotcha. It's so helpful.
Right. So
the ascendant, again, is another tool that you can consciously use to activate your destiny. And in your case, being Aquarius and perhaps wonderful things coming to you because of the Aquarian energy, we now say, oh, but you're also Capricorn rising. And by activating Capricorn as much as you can, okay, perhaps even more so than Aquarius, because Aquarius is easy, that's who you are. But by activating Capricorn qualities, boy, even more good stuff will happen to you.
So the Capricorn is my ascendant.
Your ascendant.
Even though my sun sign is Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. And I would actually say, yeah, you know, we don't really need to tell you that much about Aquarius sun, although that's going to be our starting point. But let's see how much this Capricorn is integrated in your life. How do you feel about the word responsibility? Okay. That's a big clue.
Right. I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll throw that out. Needing to take an active role, leadership role perhaps, in society at some point.
I know that my listeners love this when I'm sitting on the hot seat like this. So for those of you who are listening, Timeless Voyager Radio, this is Bruce Stephen Holmes and the astrologer today, Uta Soltner. And we're talking about the ascendant. And we're using my chart as an example, although... I wish we were using someone else's chart. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt. So responsibility, organizing abilities. Capricorn is one of those. And I guess the negative side, of course, is that Capricorn gets to be kind of a picky person, don't they?
They are aiming for perfection, which I think is a good thing. The point would be, if I asked you right now, on a scale from 0 to 100, if you can visualize that, where are you at with feeling comfortable with taking on major responsibilities to be a leader in your own little
95.
Pond.
Yep.
Okay.
Right there.
So great. We give you another check mark. So you're doing cool. You know, you're fine. No problem. And then, of course, I look.
Of course,
at
it could all be lies, too, folks. Right?
You're allowed. You're allowed. No. The cosmic police is right outside the door, so I don't have to worry about that. They'll take care of you when I leave here. Okay. Capricorn is instant karma sign. You know, there's always someone looking over your shoulder saying,
boom, right.
Bruce, I noticed a minute ago that you really weren't being your perfect self. And could we just, you know, have a little chat here? They tend to do that. But actually, it's your own self doing it.
So instant karma means that while many people could build up a life of negative action. Mm-hmm. This, unfortunately, I can't do that. I have
to keep
paying as I go. It's like the pay-as-you-go plan, right?
Yeah. It's very, very strict.
I don't mind. That means at the end, I've pretty much taken care of it.
Oh, yeah. You'll if you live.
If I live. Okay, come on. Let's move here. What about the Pluto link?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Did you have something about the ascendant?
No.
Now, the Pluto link, we don't hear a lot about that.
No,
this is
again,
new.
Let me just state this right out there so people who are listening can turn off the radio right now.
Wait a minute. What are you going to say?
I teach some very different kinds of astrological themes, and it must be either my blessing or my curse, my karma, to have been exposed to some alternative New Age Aquarian type astrology. And it's different, and I am now comfortable with that. And so, you know, I don't even bother now to be defensive. But... the Pluto link to me is one of the most significant things. It may or may not be there in a person's chart, but I have been very instructed and motivated and guided to incorporate this and to look for this. And when I look at your chart, I would say, oh, okay, where is the major transformational area in your chart, in your life? And how much of that are you aware of? And what could we help you with as an astrologer, let's say? Because again, Pluto being the most powerful planet in the whole chart, wouldn't you want to know about it?
Now, isn't that interesting? Because Pluto has always been regarded as kind of like mysterious, underworld, kind of, you know.
However, the consciousness is changing. One of the things I'm trying to do is to change people's understanding, also to take away some of the fear and apprehension they have about some of these planets, like Saturn. Saturn can be your best pal.
Not just your karma staring in your face.
Absolutely. You know, it can be a very good friend who will really help you learn and to make wonderful growth. Right. And so we must change our consciousness. And Pluto being the most powerful planet, yes, of course, he can pull the rug out from under you. But that's only done if you are so blind to what you need to be doing with your life. And
so abuses of power, this is the thing that you like to look at in Pluto.
Yeah, because Pluto is in Scorpio now, and I guess I can go to
some of
my notes.
Can we look at George Bush's chart?
I'm
sorry. You know, this is going to get me not only letters, but the CIA is going to probably call me.
I actually did look at it for 5 minutes and then took it out of my purse and decided not to bring it.
Okay,
we may have
good.
To do another show on that.
Yeah, all right.
I knew you were going to ask, and I didn't want to get into that.
No, neither do I.
I think we need to initiate our public gently into some of the things that may be coming down the
So are we going to look at abuses of power in my chart?
Yeah. Well, I have so many
wonderful
things to say.
I try not to abuse the power.
One of the things that is going on is that Pluto is in Scorpio. It happened since 1984.
Now, this is in everyone's chart, though.
Chart.
Because Pluto is a slow-moving planet.
Mm-hmm. Very slow.
And that, how slow is it?
Okay. Very slow. And right now, it's taking 12 years just to go through one sign called Scorpio.
All right.
And actually, this is the shortest it ever spends. Because when it's in Taurus, the opposite sign, for instance, it would spend 30 years.
That's interesting. So what's happening here, now what's happening then is that there is an effect that not only affects me, but affects
all of
the people for
on
a 12-year period. And so how about an overview first on that?
Yeah, I have three planets picked out that I thought, let's just get right into the heavy stuff, not mess around with details. We'll have
so we're
going
to go right
later.
To the outer planets.
Mm-hmm, the outer planets. And the three of them are in a wonderful relationship to each other. And the three I'm talking about are called Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And they are in such a relationship to each other, and I call it a dialogue they're having with each other. They're talking, they're communicating. And Pluto is saying, hey, let's now expose all corruption. Let's now expose all abuses of power. That can be on a personal level and on a national level.
All right, so now this is Pluto's rule.
Role for this
particular period.
For this 12-year period.
Is to expose. So
expose.
Now, let's explain to people.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio is... Just to kind of like go with
this. Okay, so the Scorpios would right now...
No, I'm talking about the sign of Scorpio.
The sign of Scorpio, okay. Scorpio is equal to power.
Mm-hmm.
You just use the word power. Whenever you see Scorpio, say, aha, power. How do you feel about power? How comfortable are you with owning up to your power? How much of it are you denying? How much of it are you afraid of? These are very valid questions to ask. And you have 12 years to become friends with Pluto. Own up to your power, activate it, which means really be on your destiny for the whole rest of your life.
Is Pluto an exposer?
Exposer.
So in other words, when Pluto is going through Sagittarius, it exposes something else. When it's going through Scorpio, it just came out of Virgo, right?
No.
I'm sorry, is it reversing?
Libra.
I'm sorry, you're
it
right.
It had been
I'm
in
just,
Libra.
That's right, I forgot about
when
Libra.
When Pluto was in Libra, it made people have to confront what their relationships were all about. And if there was any abuse going on there, like manipulation, coercion.
All right, so we were coming out of child abuse. Well, of course, that actually, this is... No, I'm sorry, that's not right. This is what's happening now.
This is what's happening now.
So what Pluto is exposing is abuse of power. So let's say parental...
On a very deep emotional level.
Parental power.
Yes.
The power of the state on the individual. So it's going to expose all conflicts.
Yes, thank God.
All right.
It's great. The thing to know in a nutshell is...
And this will... I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. This will end when?
Well, we started in 1984. So we have 1996, okay, to look forward to. And those of us that are left.
Right, and then Pluto goes into Sagittarius.
The next sign. From Scorpio goes into Sag, and that means a huge transformation of belief systems, ideologies, okay. and religious outlooks.
All right, so let's come back now. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, have we okay. kind of done Pluto?
Yeah, also throw in that word purging. You know, nice, nice
throwing off.
Yeah, purging of abuses of power, letting go. Ultimately, you need to know it is a healing planet.
Right. So in other words, when something like this happens,
it is
first
healing.
It's exposed, mm-hmm. and then we resolve it.
You can never clean your house until you really get in there, you know, and expose the dirt.
And
you know,
the
get
stuff
the tools,
out.
Throw the stuff out, you know. It's so simple. Also, we have Neptune in Capricorn also had gone into that sign in 1984. That's when a lot of stuff started happening for people. And Neptune in Capricorn spends 14 years in that sign. We'll take it until January 1998. So now we're overlapping the Pluto by 2 years. This is a total dissolving of old patterns.
And this, of course, here we are.
Going on for
governments,
all of us.
The Structure. Wall coming down. Mm-hmm. Belief systems. We're looking at changing belief systems as far as...
Major. Drastic.
Even belief systems like why... Did someone tell me I was this person when I'm finding out I'm something else on the individual level? On the state level, the state doesn't. The state needs to reassess what they're telling me.
Yeah, and most likely not only reassess, because I think it's going to be a little bit more drastic than that, if we're allowed to say that.
Sure.
I think
you
we're
can
going
say anything you want.
Seeing...
This is Timeless Voyager Radio.
Plus, you can edit it out. I think we're going to be seeing a
edit,
real
folks.
Restructuring on a very, very deep intrinsic level. Of everything that constitutes a man-made pattern. So a government, leadership role, organizations, corporations, you name it, okay?
And we're talking, and we're really moving here towards religion and spirituality.
Yeah, and we're talking about, oh yes, these three planets are very spiritual planets, and that goes without saying in a way, but I'm glad you did bring that up because I assume that everyone knows that, and I shouldn't perhaps.
In other words, Timeless Voyager Radio is an example of what you're talking about here, namely, this is information that's going out to people, which is a little bit different from the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and just go for it. You're an Aquarius, so you have 100% permission, green light, to be as outrageous as you want to be. Okay, you're Saturn, you're Capricorn rising. We'll look over your shoulder and say, "Hey, Bruce, cool it a little." You know, you're kind of forgetting your limits or boundaries. But I would say, take that Aquarius sun as far as you know want to go with that. You know, be outrageous, be yourself, really act out your essence. But we will see with Neptune a spiritualization of the whole planet, and this is not everyone's favorite theme. Okay, and that's why we're going to see a lot of difficulty with that. If you tell people, take away this emphasis on material objects or on getting ahead or on advancing and this bigger is better kind of philosophy, and it's going to be very hard for some people to just let go. Because what they will say is, well, what are you going to give me instead? And if I say, well, something Neptunian, artistic, spiritual, creative, visionary, they'll say, what? You know, how will this possibly feed me, nourish me, and help me survive? And we're saying, well, I'm saying as your cosmic weather forecaster, this is what will nourish you, your vision, your creativity, your healing ability, your love, your compassion for humanity, your friends, the things you have built that are really real will nourish you. They will protect you. They will help you survive. They will, and we're talking about very, very, very real survival in a way.
All right, so these are the three outer planets that we've talked about.
And Uranus, of course, planet ruling Aquarius, your sign.
So you said in 1988, Uranus went into a particular position. That was in
Capricorn.
Capricorn, okay.
And I remember it was in the December of 1988. And it will stay there until January of 1996. And another very major powerful planet, one that we should not overlook or ignore either, because it has the power to affect such huge changes in your life. And in the olden days, classic days, in the days of classic astrology, which I'm fast removing myself from, they taught that the average person doesn't resonate with these outer planets. You know, they're just too stupid or whatever. It sort of was implied. And I thought, no, you know, we are so moving so fast and really accelerating and vibrating to so many more frequencies that the average person is feeling the effect of Uranus and Neptune and Pluto. And so I teach very differently. And Uranus in Capricorn rules a breakthrough into a new awareness. And we are talking about the Aquarian age a lot. You know, perhaps only us in California, I don't know.
No, I think, don't say that. People all over the world are seeing the effects.
So.
Yes.
I hope so. And we are all one. And so Uranus in Capricorn, again, looking at it from my perspective, is a teacher and a guide, therefore a very helpful, friendly planet that says, look, why don't you get your act together and look at the patterns that you have been living your life under and really honestly, with sincerity, review them and perhaps admit to yourself, at least to yourself at first, right, before you have the courage to admit it to others, that some of these patterns aren't working and that perhaps you could be happier and that perhaps you need a little help with this. Perhaps it's not so easy to change a format that you have been indoctrinated under, or, you know, we're told that you must always be this way. This is your golden opportunity to break out of anything that was not sincerely you. Okay, it's a very big issue.
Now, this is interesting because this is affecting all of us.
All of us, all of us.
And not just us meaning individuals, us mm-hmm. as social groups, us yes. as nations, mm-hmm. because the nation is made mm-hmm. up of the unit, which mm-hmm. is the individual.
Absolutely. And contrary, again, to other ways of teaching astrology, I teach that Uranus rules specific one-on-one relationships. And you may have readers write in or protest about that, and I will explain where that idea comes from. It comes from an astrologer called Carl Payne Tobey, who is now deceased, and so nobody can heckle him anymore.
We could channel him through sometime and find out what he has to say. Right?
He was an Aquarius, and he went against the mainstream, and it was my karma, I guess, to hear about him, and I said, my God, this guy's onto something. It's so revolutionary, and it is so valid, and it is so true, and of course, I can't prove it necessarily, but I'm trying to mention his name as often as I can.
So what did he say?
He said, for instance, there is a cycle that comes up 4 or 5 times a year, constantly, and that we've lived through, you know, in the past. And there was one in 1992 from March 11th till April 9th. And this cycle he discovered totally mathematically. This is a very real thing. And it's called a cycle of instability. And it means that when these cycles occur, you will be shaken up and you will have personal earthquakes. And they are ruled by the planet Uranus, so we're tying in Uranus again. And it so happens that in that particular cycle we just mentioned, there were earthquakes. There was a huge one in Turkey. There was even
two of them, right? Two of them during that period mm-hmm. of time.
So he.
So these instance, wobbles now. Now, I'm sorry, I use the mm-hmm. word wobble because mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it just each planet has a wobble of its own, or does the moon wobble? Or
very good question. The moon wobble will be always in a certain sign, and that particular period was in Aries. And Aries is a very dramatic sign, very dramatic energy.
So you're saying that the moon only wobbles when it's in Aries?
No, the moon wobbles when it is in a certain sun sign like Aries and making a certain relationship to the lunar nodes. Hmm. That's where the whole thing comes.
Now, wobble means what? It means literally?
Shaking. Instability.
So the planet really, I mean, is this, I'm asking you because I don't know. This is actually... No, I'm not asking if it's symbolic or not.
Right. It's both.
Is it actually pragmatic? I mean, would an astronomer say, yes, this planet does move erratically for that moment?
Let's leave astronomers out for a minute. Unfortunately,
I don't mind. This is Timeless Voyager Radio.
Unfortunately, I wish we didn't. You have to remember that astrology and astronomy were one science. And when those two went their separate ways, it was a very sad event.
All right, I think my question then is, does the planet actually...
Wobble.
Do you know the answer? Does mm-hmm. the planet actually move, or are we talking about a more etheric instability?
No, we're talking about the actual planet, the sun, a star, mm-hmm. in the sign Aries, being in a relationship to the nodes, which are mathematical points in space.
Okay. And so those nodes actually begin to wobble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think of like the zenith of maybe not the zenith.
It's a little bit more complex than that.
Are they like poles?
They are mathematical points that have to do with the orbit of the moon passing over the ecliptic, you know.
Okay.
So we get a lot of different kinds of from north to south latitude.
But this is what Carl Payne Toby said. Yeah. He said this creates a personal earthquake. Mm-hmm. So the individual has a shaking during the time that
Absolutely.
There is a shaking going on with the planet.
And it's a time that asks you in your own life, how well are you handling your life? How well are you handling things that are coming your way that are perhaps distressing, upsetting, or that ask you to be flexible?
Hmm.
Okay, it goes back to patterns. We love our patterns. We cling to them, even when we admit that we're not that happy with them.
Okay, how about this then?
Mm-hmm.
People who look back in perspective through March 11th mm-hmm. through April 9th of 1992,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they can review. Mm-hmm. But let's do something else. How many wobbles are there a year?
4 or 5. Last year we had 5. This year we have 5. It's a lot.
Are we just talking about the moon?
We're talking about the sun being in a certain sign and triggering these cycles. They come, like in spring, summer, fall, winter.
So different planets mm-hmm. will have a wobble during different, I guess, times of the different years. Is that what we're saying?
I'm trying to get you away from using the word planets. We're talking about the sun specifically.
Guess I've got this wrong.
Yeah, there's a little pattern there. You want to get into there.
I don't want to get into any pattern.
Okay,
folks, here's a story. Somehow, I've been thinking of a planet wobbling. Uh-huh. Okay, now you use the word wobble meaning something else.
I'm using it in a sense that the sun is in a relationship to the lunar nodes, which are mathematical points, and it creates a cycle of instability when they trigger each other.
Now I understand completely, and I apologize for those of you who are out there saying, Bruce, you've got it wrong. I've now got it right. Okay, so now she's looking at my chart to see why I was having trouble with that concept. Why don't we move from that, while you're looking at that, over to this Mercury thing? Because Mercury retrograde happens a lot, doesn't it?
Happens all the time, too. And, we live through it, and we make the most out of it.
But what does Mercury retrograde do to us as individuals? Or how does it influence us?
It basically says, switch over from left brain to right brain functioning. Very simply. Okay, that's all there is to it. There's no mystique. It's a very simple act. If you can consciously, with awareness, go out at that particular time when the Mercury goes retrograde, and from March 16th to April 8th, it started on March 16th.
So this was in 1992. This was another example of this mm-hmm. happening. So during that period of time, people mm-hmm. should have, they were very linear in their thinking. Mm-hmm. They were working very strongly with the right, mm-hmm. with the left side.
Brain.
And then during that period of time, the answer is, if you want a solution to your problems, you have mm-hmm. to be right-brained for mm-hmm. 6 weeks?
Yeah. And you have to be more visual, and you have to be more intuitive.
So people have to do this. Otherwise, you come up against a linear wall.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. You will back yourself into a corner. You will not be able to get logical answers. You should be asking intuitive questions. And perhaps if you start out by saying, how do I feel about this? What is my intuition telling me? What about if I just honor that and go with the flow and see where I'm led to go today? Rather than sticking to a pattern again, you're going to be much better off.
All right, we've got to run right mm-hmm. up to Chiron now.
Yeah. I love Chiron.
We have to talk about that because we're going to run out of time if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So the discovery of Chiron, first of all, what is this about?
This is a minor planetoid, to be totally astronomically correct. And it was discovered
in
1977.
And what do we think it is? Astronomers tell us it's what, a moon?
They tell us all kinds of things. It could still be a comet. It might still be a meteor, but it is not. It is a minor planetoid.
Okay.
It does not even need to be assigned to its own sign. We have 12 signs. We have plenty. But it is a planetoid that traverses or travels from Saturn to Uranus. It's in that space between those two planets.
So it actually has its own orbit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's called a maverick planet.
All right.
Because it,
so we've got one,
and
but our so really now mm-hmm. we're talking that there are 10 planets.
And and Carl Payne Toby, God bless him, opened this Pandora's box By saying, you know what, I've come up with this other system where everything fits really beautifully and mathematically. And as a mathematician, this makes me very happy because this stuff used to drive me nuts. And it drives a lot of astrologers nuts. You know, I have a lot of sleepless nights thinking about, now, where does this fit and what is this?
And
really
what about
mean?
Astronomers? Doesn't this bother them
it
also?
It doesn't bother. I wish it would bother them, but they don't perhaps need to bother, although I would like to question that.
I mean, because these planets must affect gravitational pulls and must account for all the anomalies that we hear about all the time.
Absolutely. That's how they discovered Neptune and Uranus, okay? But, and if you want to hear a real quick story, I can talk real fast. The person who discovered Chiron happened to have Chiron sitting in his 10th house, which means that that was his whole contribution, okay, to discover Chiron. And it shows up in his chart, and he perhaps doesn't care, but I think that's wonderful.
Who is this person?
Lowell Percival.
So Lowell Percival has Chiron in his 10th house. 10th house is career opportunity.
It means the highest contribution that you will make to your culture,
right.
Society,
that's
whatever.
Great.
Yeah. And this was discovered in 1977, and people's lives have been activated and, oh God, moving forward.
Good. Steadily. So what does Chiron do for us?
It is the solution, the key, the answer, the way out of the mess we're in.
And does that mean for each individual and
yes.
also each
yes.
social? Again, yes. we're talking about expanding the individual to the society.
And Chiron was a very phenomenal teacher and guide, and he was very practical. So he's also sometimes very Capricornian, and he taught very specific healing skills, one of which was astrology. And in your case, because you have Chiron in your 10th house, I would assume
I guess
that
I can't
from time
rediscover
to time,
Chiron.
Somebody got there
missed
first.
Out.
You missed out. But you can certainly have astrologers on your show.
Okay.
Because that's one of these things that he did. And Chiron again becomes a healer. And Chiron says, look, your planet is in a very severe healing crisis. And wouldn't it be nice if somehow it could be fixed?
Mm-hmm.
And we on the planet Earth are supposed to say, oh, yes, we would love to fix it, okay? So the good guys could now use tools to help heal the planet Earth, which means also the people on it.
Okay.
And it's
so
as
if Timeless
as
Voyager Radio can do a little bit to help heal the planet, then I'm doing all right with my Chiron in the 10th house of career.
This you need to do that. You need to activate this. You also need to activate your own divination skill. How do you
Ooh.
Feel about that?
Well, I don't know. How do you listeners feel about that? I'm glad we can't have responses at this moment. Have I told you enough? This is Uta Soltner. She is an incredible astrologer. And my goodness. All right. So how does a person... Go ahead. You start. You opened it up. Say it.
Since 1977, we are supposed to be getting with it. And changing and lightening up and simplifying and healing and making great strides, moving forward into our own personal destiny, which is implied now cosmically, not because I say so, but because this is the way I interpret the planets, that you must be interested in healing, not only your own self, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, but also the planet.
So you're saying this is not just some thing that people can dabble in.
Mm-mm.
You're saying that this is something that everyone has to start doing.
Yes.
Period. It's like learning how to read, learning how to write, learning how to have a career. Now you're saying people must learn how to heal.
Absolutely.
They must take charge of their own divination.
Absolutely. We would say we have progressed or graduated or finished certain lessons and tests. We have finished certain grades. We're now ready, let's say, for high school or whatever you want to call it, or university. And it is implied by the transits and where they are and the kind of dialogue they have with each other in conversation. You can actually use that word conversation. I talk to the planets all day long.
Well, you believe planets are living entities.
I believe they are great, huge, wonderful spiritual energies. And that I do.
So they're not, to you, they're just not lumps of mud. I mean, we have.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not going to say, that astronomers treat planets like objects, but I think many people in their understanding of astronomy and of the galactic cosmos that we have there, this incredible thing, they think of it as something to look at and wonder about.
Mm-hmm.
But a very, very few people think of it as living energies.
They are living. And astronomers, you want to remember, measure the planets and count them and number them. We interpret them. So it's a very different orientation.
Right. And of course, that's where all the people who are against astrology say that there's no reason to do that, that they're just there for numbering, counting, and naming. And you're saying that's not why they were there.
Mm-mm. And I don't think that anything is there to just be numbered or named.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're saying this particular thing that you're talking about, the healing gifts and using astrology as a divination tool, this is this movement then from the third density to the fourth density.
This is what we're graduating
to. So the vibration acceleration. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
You might perhaps, whoever you are out there listening to this show, acknowledge or agree with us right this minute that your life certainly has moved forward and has become more complex and more fast-paced, and that there are more stresses, and that you have perhaps realized that daily you need to center yourself, and that daily you need to kind of catch your breath, and that there are so many demands on your time and energy, not only time, but also physical energy and psychic energy. You know, you can feel emotionally and psychically very drained from all of the demands made on you. And so here's Chiron who says, oh God, look at, use me, okay? Your planet is in great distress and stress, not only you individually in your life with the demands made on you, but your planet is in great stress. And we are needing to go through a birthing time, a renewal time, a transformation time. And like a real birth, there may be some pain with it, but you can assist yourself to minimize the pain. And, you know, even understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it would help a lot already, okay? And then having real divination tools or healing tools, thanks to Chiron, who offers them to us as his gifts, would be very helpful for our society, our planet, our, you know, species. And we're talking about really the survival of the species. Let's not mince words. Let's get down to it. Moon is in Virgo now, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. What about new planets? New planets?
Because of, again, Carl Payne Toby's thinking and being influenced by that, it opened up a whole new way of looking at things. And I'm very grateful for the fact that it wasn't so ingrained, you know, in a pattern and hadn't gotten so much, you know, into that.
Because astronomy is rather rigid. It says we have nine planets and that's all there is and that's
I'm
over.
I'm saying we have 12 houses, 12 signs, and 12 planets.
Okay, and we hear that a lot.
And I've been racking my brain about what planet really rules Gemini, because according to the system I'm using, that is one house that's left open, and I would like to...
What do the classic astrologers say at this point?
They say that Mercury rules both Gemini and Virgo.
So we have one planet that supposedly rules two signs.
But we have moved away from dual rulership.
Okay, so you're saying that somebody else rules Gemini.
Uh-huh, and there's a planet out there, and it is waiting for us to be cognizant of it, or it is waiting for us to respond to its vibration, and it will rule Gemini in the third house, and it will leave behind the Mercury and the Virgo function, and that the Geminis will be helped a lot when their planet is sighted.
So this is why Geminis are having problems with decision-making? And
I think that Geminis will feel a lot better when they can be told or initiated into a planet that helps them manifest their beingness. Hmm. And to me, that planet is out there already. And
so we just have to recognize it.
We have to recognize it and discover it. And looking at the Gemini story and mythology, we will also have clues. It will be the planet that has to do with the other, the twin, the counterpart to us, and it will have to do with a etheric vibration.
So we're talking about a planet that at this point we would call an invisible planet.
Thank you. It is an invisible planet. And it is out there, and it's always been out
there.
So now,
an invisible planet, okay, four people who are saying, okay, you've gone too far, Bruce. Nothing is too far with Timeless Voyager Radio.
Not with an Aquarius.
So, what is a black hole? It is an invisible, highly strong gravitational pull. So big and so incredibly strong that it pulls light inside of it. That's how strong it is, gravity. And that's why it appears to be a black hole. We've got to finish this because we're going to run out of time. And I wanted to touch this one. The seventh house. Extraterrestrial beings.
Yes.
What? How did you ever come up with this one?
This is so logical.
All right.
It is so simple. And if we had more time, I can convince you of that. But that's really not my purpose.
I'm convinced of everything.
The seventh house rules your partner, your other, your mirror image, the person that will teach you the most about yourself and about complimenting yourself,
right,
which is such a wonderful, you know, house. Okay. So misunderstood.
So I have
I have
the female Cancer.
Yes.
On the seventh house cusp, which is
now,
the opposite of my Capricorn rising.
It's what you're looking for. You're looking for Cancer energy to complement yourself.
All right.
Okay.
But where do extraterrestrials come into this?
They come in here now because the seventh house not only will include those two-legged individuals, male or female, that manifest all over the place that you will be in a relationship with, perhaps significantly, like to a significant other, but they will also include now all other sentient beings, whether or not they have two legs is immaterial, that you could possibly relate to.
So anyone that I can relate to that can give me the holistic...
Yes. Wonderful. Let's invite this alien outside from the other room inside now, and we would talk to him and say, him or her, or it, we would say, gee, sir or madam, you don't happen to have two legs, but you are here in the room and you look a little different, okay? Mm-hmm. But perhaps we can communicate and have a relationship and have a dialogue, and perhaps you can teach us now something not just about our innermost selves, but about our whole place in the universe and the fact that there are other cultures, societies, groups, individuals.
So we're talking about ascended masters. We're talking about higher beings, higher vibrational beings, extraterrestrials.
There you go.
Okay, so that's so you find that in the seventh house.
Absolutely. It will include all others that you could possibly relate to and find the relationship significant.
But that's the very important point.
It will exclude
all of those who I can't have a relationship with. Not just, I mean, I'm not going to go out and marry an extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. Although I've heard some interesting stories lately.
I'm sure it's happened.
but what we're saying is there are going to be
ongoing
beings that will fulfill my particular needs. And those will be ones that I can meet if I don't exclude them.
Yes.
So I have to be open enough not to exclude them.
Absolutely. I'm glad you throw that in there. You know, your need for self-discovery may include being guided or helped or aided. Could be an angel. Could be an ascended master, could be an alien, could be a seen or an unseen being. The guidance will be there nonetheless. The image you have of that other is important, because if you think they're going to be horrible and terrible and need to be feared, that is what you would attract. Like attracts like.
Incredible.
Cosmic principle.
And that's Uta, U-T-E, Soltner, S-O-L-T-N-E-R. Uta, thank you so much for being on the show. We made it. We got through it. Virgo helped us out a lot here.
Yes.
For those of you who are listening, thank you for tuning in to Timeless Voyager. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, and I hope that your own personal voyage through life towards the development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.